Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. This week, it's NFL week, week 14 of the NFL. We talk news, scores over the week. That's probably shaped a few divisional, positions. Some decent sort of injuries this week and probably look into week 15 just a little bit.
Crazy injuries this week. And we had some, juggernauts. AFC matchups and NFC matchups this week. So yeah, it was a really, really interesting week this week. Loved it.
So we'll go over the scores. The Thursday night shit fest was the Bears getting over the Cowboys 31-24. Falcons doing like I still can't work out the Falcons smashing the Panthers 40-20. I just can't work them out.
They just had a total reversal of fortune. Both those clubs like that. Yeah, it's bizarre.
The Ravens getting over the Bills, which is a really good game to watch, 24-17. So
it
really
was actually
the Bills.
That was the early game on the other channel on 7, mate. And the Saints and the Niners were on ESPN. They were good sort of games to flick between.
The Browns getting over the Bengals 27-19. The Packers getting over the Redskins 20-15. The Vikings 20-7 over the Lions. The 49ers getting over the Saints 48-46 right at the end there. But, man, that was a really good, crazy game.
That was mad.
The Jets getting over the Dolphins 22-21. the Buccaneers getting over the Colts 38-35. The Broncos getting over the Texans 38-24. Speaking of teams sort of like chopping and changing and having a bit of a run, the Chargers getting over the Jaguars. Yes, it was the Jaguars, but 45-10.
Jags.
The Tennessee Titans getting over the Raiders 42-21, winning their fourth straight on that one.
Man, the Chiefs, they're just...
Yeah, smoky. The Chiefs getting over the Pats 23-16. Everyone loves seeing the Pats lose, or I do anyway.
Well, I think most people do. Yeah, I've got a little something later on for the Patriots fans.
They're the Manly, like out of NRL, they're the Manly Seagulls of the NFL. So
Manly
everyone loves
Roosters,
to hate them.
Nah, you'd probably say the Roosters because
Roosters now. Yeah, good point. The Rams getting over the Seahawks 28-12.
Monday night game.
Which was a snooze fest. The Eagles, although it finished good, but because it was in overtime, but the Eagles getting over the Giants 23-17.
Yeah.
Snooze fest because it's the Giants and the Eagles, but I guess it was a good win.
Teams wise, yeah, but the game itself, like, you know, it had that little bit of nostalgia to it with Eli Manning getting the start. Due to Daniel Jones and his sort of high ankle sprain, which seemed to be going around a lot lately, those syndesmosis type injuries. I don't know how much of it you've seen or anything. I watched most of the game. It was a tale of two halves.
Yes,
it was a tale of two halves. Eli Manning had 170 yards in the first half passing. Carson Wentz had 97 yards. Yeah. Eli then proceeded to throw 33 yards in the second half.
Yeah.
And Carson Wentz in the second half had two touchdowns and 228 yards. Yeah. Like, what the hell?
And it's funny in saying that you're right. It was a tale of two halves. It was a tale of two receiving halves because the rushing for both teams, Saquon Barkley and Boston Scott, wasn't great, but Zach Ertz, like, two touchdowns, 91 yards, and Darius Slayton, five catches for 154 yards and two touchdowns.
Man.
So, which I did not see coming, clearly. I don't think anyone's seen coming.
My start of the week, Darius Slayton.
But you're right. Of what I've seen, it was a tale of two halves. It's full credit to the Eagles. The Eagles are looking good. They had to come behind to beat the Giants. No, well, that's right. Matt. They're coming behind to beat the Giants. So I don't take anything out of the way that you will.
Yeah. Oh, no, but it just sort of showed, like, especially in that second half, like there was that clutch drive in the fourth quarter by Wentz. It was like a 9-play, 85-yard drive. It took about 6.5 minutes where that got him back. That got him back, and that got the game tied. And ended up by the end of it, because they essentially had the ball for all of overtime. Like their time in possession, Giants had 22 minutes of time in possession. The Eagles had 42 minutes and 50 seconds. So double the amount of time in possession, and they only just got the job done in OT. But they just kept the Eagles just kept getting injury after injury after injury, and the only guy that you need to cover on that team is Zach Ertz. And he was wide open in the end zone for that touchdown in overtime. It was just that was just inexcusable.
With their that's just a tale. That's just probably the Giants' season. I just can't work out the just with the Giants. Like, they have an okay offensive team, but just defensive, they just don't look set at all. And if they do, it just doesn't look structured in a way. I don't know. It just doesn't seem.
No, I don't think so. I think that's sort of been part of their problem, I guess, this year. I think, well, obviously both sides of the ball haven't been terrific apart from those from the two wins that they got. Oh, how long ago was that? Oh, it seemed like 1,000 years ago now that they got those two wins when Daniel Jones come in for the start of for Eli Manning. But they've lost eight. I think they've lost nine on the trot now. So, they've obviously lacked the offensive weapons as well for Daniel Jones. Like, yeah, to me, they've uncovered, a bit of a gem in Darius Slayton, but Sterling Shepard's only been back a couple of weeks. He was in concussion protocol for a couple of weeks. I think it was a month. Saquon Barkley was out earlier in the season. He's a threat in the pass game as well. Evan Ingram, you remember that guy? Like,
started great. Started have great first half of the season. Started really good, but he did get an injury. I think it was at week five against Minnesota. He got an injury, so he's sort of chopped and changed and sort of come back, and then he's limited. So, it's just a Giants season. I mean, there's no real sort of cut and dry thing about it. It's just how they are.
Well, unfortunately, again, they're in line for an extremely high draft pick.
The next game,
they've got a better chance than the Dolphins do to get the number one pick. Like, come on!
Yeah. I love you. You really want a Dolphins to get that first pick. I love it. Every time they win, it's crazy.
Oh my god, I want to beat my head against the wall.
Bengals will get the first round pick.
I mean, well, it looks like it.
1-12, they got the Patriots this week, so they should win that one. The speaking of Patriots, they lost to the Kansas City Chiefs 23-16 at home, which I thought was interesting. Their first loss at home.
Yeah, heavyweight battle there.
Yeah. What I seen in the game, especially in the first quarter, Patrick Mahomes looks real. It's like I'm going back to sort of last season when they played him in that divisional game.
The AFC Championship game.
Championship. He looked really shaky, in the first quarter, Patrick Mahomes. He threw that intercept. He just couldn't get anything going. And then, he's come back in that second quarter and just clicked, getting 17 points in that second quarter. The biggest, there was a few, the fun thing I took away out of that was Travis Kelce lining up at quarterback and getting the ball and running 4 yards untouched to the line, which was awesome.
Just a direct snap to just a menacing tight end, like you just like, okay.
They said it was on the commentary, said it was a very odd, those are wildcat plays. That's back in, like, you know, the 80s and 90s. So
I think the Wildcat's still a big thing in college ball. Yeah, the college football love their trick shots. But, yeah, you don't generally see a lot of it. Like, the Patriots love a flea flicker. But, I think they tried to pull that out. All I sort of realistically took from that game, like, Brady, when he's not protected, you know, adequately, especially this year, is not looking very good.
He looks old, unfortunately, because of that. Yeah, not because he is old, because obviously he's old, but because he's unprotected, it's not like, you know, he's not like a Lamar Jackson that can, you know, run for 20 or 30.
No, he's not a mobile quarterback at all.
So,
it's like in Happy Gilmore. Look at her. She's like old, but you can't do this to her. She's like old. Look
she's
at her.
Too
she's
old.
She's too old.
We talked about it before, but that's one movie I'd love to talk about for ages if we rewatch that 1,000 times. Because it's funny, I'll tell you later, but there's certain cast people that are supposed to be in that movie. Certain famous people, but anyway, we'll keep going.
That's awesome. No, and the other thing was too was the Pats running game. Like this is a Chiefs defense who, like, the running game has just been, like, any team that's played the Chiefs has just been able to stomp all over them in the running game. Sony Michel had 5 carries for 8 yards. James White, who's essentially their pass catcher, but is also a running back. 6 carries for 33 yards. This is a running defense that's been horrendous, mm-hmm. and they just weren't able to stamp their authority on the game.
Especially, like, it's just insane that Tom Brady got 20 yards and was the second highest. So that just tells you how bad
that just can't happen.
But the
Kansas City defense, you know, come up big in that last minute. Where they went for it, it was like a fourth and seven, or might have even been a fourth and goal, the safety Breland knocked the pass away, and that essentially ended the game. Then like that was it.
And it's with the Patriots. The only reason they sort of stayed in that game was again their great defense, but. Speaking of their offense, so you like look, they have clinched the division. You know, that's pretty easy in their division. But
they clinched the division on week one after they got a win.
Coming into the playoffs, you're right. But coming into the playoffs, I think they're looking shaky. I don't fully trust them. It's like they're, and I'm talking about their offense, and that's. Not Brady's fault. I don't think he's got anything to throw to. I just don't.
Looks like Julian Edelman might be questionable for next week. He's just got nobody to throw to. Philip Dorsett is hurt. They just got a bunch of no. It's almost like Philadelphia, like Carson Wentz just got nobody to throw to at the moment. You know, I'm sure Brady would love to have one Rob Gronkowski to still be able to throw it to. But he's just got nothing to throw it to, and if they can't establish themselves in the run game, they're going to be in a world of hurt.
Well, especially when we'll talk about it later when they have to tape a team that's 1-12, but apparently they have to tape a team, but that's a thing we'll get into later.
Obviously
the next game I wanted to talk about, which was obviously that big scoring game, the 49ers and the Saints.
Scoring explosion.
It was such a good game to watch, but as terrible as the, well, not terrible defense, but as great as the offense was.
Terrible defense. Yeah.
Terrible defense. Especially just Jimmy G.
Like, oh, man.
Well, it's not usually a Saints you know, Saints are pretty notorious for their defense, correct?
They have been, but yeah, over the last month, it's been extremely worrying, worrying that they're getting shredded, like they have been.
Well, like, I mean, look,
I think I talked to you about it the other day. They got beat by Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
in the Superdome. They had to have a comeback win. they let Carolina in New Orleans claw all the way, and they won on an after the buzzer, you know, on a field goal as time expires. And then they let in 48 points to the Niners, which is no, you know, that's not a disgrace, but it's just the way that they were getting shredded, and there was a huge injury toll out of that game as well on both sides from the Niners and the Saints. So it's probably more so for the Saints injury wise. But the Niners lost Dee Ford and Richard Sherman to hamstring injuries. Yep. And their center, Weston Richburg, he went down as well. And, you know, most teams that are playing well this time of year have got a very good relationship between the center and the quarterback.
Yeah.
And, you know, this year, the Saints, up until a few weeks ago, had to go to their rookie, Eric McCoy, who they drafted this year. And they're starting to get a little bit better, him and Drew Brees. But the Saints lost Sheldon Rankins again. He went out last year with an Achilles injury. They've lost Marcus Davenport, who was a really big part of their win against Carolina. Sort of getting over the line and essentially nearly blocking a field goal. Jared Cook caught two touchdowns in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And then he got concussed, and that was it. So he could be possibly out. If they don't get AJ Klein and Kiko Alonso, the two linebackers, back, then they're short on linebackers as well. It's like, man, this could be bad news.
And they haven't got the worst run home. They've got the Colts, they got the Titans and the Panthers. So, and those last two games are away. So, you're right. It's possibly, look, they'll finish top of the division.
They've already four games.
Correct. They have clinched the division. No, you're right. They're the only team that has clinched the division. You're exactly right. That's wrong. They've clinched their division. No, there's other teams that have clinched the division.
The Saints clinched the division 2 weeks ago.
Well, they're four games in front, so.
Yeah.
Just
Jimmy G, like, just he looked every part of that, you know, that $120 million contract that he got signed to a couple of years ago. Uh-huh. You know, not the hugest numbers, only 26 to 35, but four touchdowns, 349 yards. Like they had Emmanuel Sanders throw a touchdown, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah, that was actually pretty good.
That was crazy. just didn't see that coming. A couple of times the Saints went for it, you know, on third down and fourth down and got snuffed out a little bit, which is generally sort of they're one of the league's best in. You know, in fourth down conversions and going for it. A couple of times they lined up Taysom Hill at quarterback just purely for a run game, for a run. But, you know, that final quarter was just insane. It was a fourth and two. Run. They only needed 2 yards, and Kittle gets them 30 plus a 10-yard penalty for the penalty for the face mask.
For 5,000 people jumping on him
and the face mask. It just looked like it was crazy. There was three people hanging off him like he was a tree. It was ridiculous. There was three people hanging off him, and they still couldn't bring him down. He just kept going. It's just like, can somebody trip him or something? Like it was crazy. But Jimmy G, you could see that there was a bit of a game plan. That they picked on two of the Saints safeties, like Eli Apple and Marcus Williams. Like, they went after those two, and they did it with a lot of success.
Yeah.
And Eli Apple hasn't been playing that badly this year, but he's one of the reasons why that secondary hasn't been very good. Marshawn Lattimore had a couple of weeks out through injury, and they sort of, that they were playing PJ Williams or Marcus Williams, and it just hasn't looked the same.
The other game I want to touch on was the Ravens and the Bills. Look, the Ravens getting over the Bills, 24-17. I guess the two things that stood out for me were it wasn't like they got the win, but it wasn't Lamar Jackson's greatest game. Not so much like his passer rating was good, like 16-25. It was only 145 yards, but it was more the fact that with that game, even though they lost, just the Buffalo Bills, their defense is scarily good, and this is why I think Lamar was sort of shut down. They had a chance technically, if they won that game and the Patriots did lose, they would have been on top of that division and still have a chance, which I'm sure...
That just doesn't sound right.
Well, I'd have to go right back. I'd have to have a look on, like, just find it. But when would have been the last time the Patriots have not won their division?
I think not so much not won the division, but I think I did see something on the TV where the last time the Bills actually won the AFC East was like 1999.
Wow.
And they have, yeah, and I think they're the team that's got the longest playoff drought in the league at the moment too.
I'm pretty sure they're going to be there.
Well, yeah, well, all that I said, and the thing was, it just wasn't a day for quarterbacks either. Like you said, you know, Lamar Jackson only, 16 for 25. Like Josh Allen, 17 for 39, 146 yards. Hit 12 times, sacked 6 times.
Yep.
Like that's not a recipe for success for him. Yeah, him getting hit that much, like that's not good. Like he's a big dude, but that's not going to be good for his long term health.
Last time Patriots lost was 2008. Last time they lost a division in a tiebreaker and against the Dolphins, who won. So the Dolphins. Anyway, this is 2008, so it's 11 years ago. But you're right, just with the Josh Allen thing, it's the same, like the Buffalo Bills, like the Patriots, the Buffalo Bills defense is winning them games. I still like Devin Singletary on the rushing, but Josh Allen needs better protection, and he's just
protection, and he just needs a little bit more, you know, solid play out of his wide receivers. Like, you know, if they could get an upper echelon wide receiver for him to throw to, and you know, he's like got Antonio
Brown.
That was his thing out of college. Like he's got a cannon of an arm, but he's a little inaccurate.
Yeah.
So that's where you sort of need those decent wide receivers that can actually pull in those balls that may be thrown a little bit out of that tight window, so to speak. You know, maybe a little bit too hard, because there's nothing wrong with his arm strength. It's just his accuracy that's the problem.
Like Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown playing for the Bills. Woof.
Hey, if they need a decent wide receiver, and he's not going to be able to play in the NFL again, but man, that would be very interesting.
That'd be crazy.
Especially going from, you know, the Patriots, a divisional, you know, rival, to the Bills, that'd be crazy.
Insane.
That was a game that I wanted to touch on this week. I don't want to touch on any others. So especially
you
the Thursday night game.
Don't want to talk about them Cowboys.
Matt, move that one on. I've said enough last week, and it's still to me the same thing this week, is for the Cowboys that Jason Garrett just doesn't want to take chances, and that's the problem.
But the thing was too, you know, Matt Nagy's actually, you know, now that Trubisky sort of looks like he's got a bit of confidence, and it looked like they had drawn up a lot of design run plays for Trubisky with fake handoffs, and him getting into the run game a lot, and whether or not Dallas sort of expected that, but
It just
looks like a lot of time they are real prepared. It's just whether they know how to change game plans on the run. It's just
I was,
yeah, it's
I was just actually impressed with Trubisky. I didn't realize. He passed really well, but I didn't realize how quick he was until that game.
For a big guy, he's fairly mobile.
He's very I was shocked. I mean, he got a touchdown. Albeit I think it was only like 4 to 6 yards, but 10 carries for 63 yards.
That's
That's
the big thing for me. And a lot of those weren't scrambles either. A lot of those were designed run plays for him, you know, almost a la Lamar Jackson. A lot of designed run plays for him. So I think that's it's something to look out for in the future with the Bears, and if they keep that sort of confidence up, obviously this season is shot, for the future, I guess, like it looks like they're gonna ride and die with Trubisky at quarterback, so that's. You know, Chase Daniels isn't the solution. So they're going to ride Trubisky until it's a complete utter failure.
That was all the games for me this week. If you want to move on to news, I don't know if there's anything else you want to touch on.
I thought something that was worth touching on was Denver just rolling into Houston and just slapping the Texans in the face.
Yeah.
Like that's not so much one of the upsets of the season, but you know, Houston have been playing really well lately, and for Denver to just roll up in there with Drew Locke and go in there and just put a number on them. I thought they'd had the scores the wrong way around. When you kept getting score updates for it, it's just like okay. Yeah, Drew Locke had three touchdowns in the first half. Ended with 22 from 27, so super efficient. Noah Fant had only 4 receptions and 113 yards. Came up big for Denver and my fantasy team. But Watson sort of hit Watson throwing 50 times. Yeah, 28 for 50. That's a game essentially where they drop the ball, because that can't happen. You know, them going into the playoffs, and especially the way that Tennessee's playing at the moment, like they've got to really look on their heels, and say, look, we might need, if Tennessee keeps playing the way that they are, we might be in a scrap for the division.
Not that Deshaun's he did throw pretty bad, but when he tries to DeAndre Hopkins, that's probably more DeAndre Hopkins finding the ball than Deshaun finding DeAndre. But
no.
You're ever elusive Noah Fant getting 113 yards in that game for four catches.
It's coming out of nowhere.
He's not your favorite. I think he's just elusive and due to fantasy, everyone. So
that's 100% it. can't count on that every week.
I guess moving on to some news. I think we sort of touched on it earlier, but the Patriots apparently filming the Cincinnati Bengals training.
I've got one word. Why?
Yeah. Exactly.
It's Cincinnati's. They've got one win. I don't buy that it was any sort of, they're trying to cover up a little bit of stupidity, but I just don't buy that it's legit it's stupidity.
So what happened was during week 14, the Patriots sent a video team to Cleveland to film a documentary on an advanced scout who was at the game watching the Browns and Bengals. With the Bengals set to play the Patriots in week 15, the online doc, blah, 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 blah.
That's the coincidental part about it. That's all I see is coincidence.
Yeah. The Patriots sent a third-party video contract to Cleveland for the shoot. They were credentialed by the Browns, but the Bengals and the NFL were not made aware by the Patriots or the Browns of the presence of a Pats video crew, according to reports, blah, 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 blah. Cameron was Boston Bruins gear and proceeded to observe the cameraman what the cameraman was doing. But allegedly, the cameraman proceeded to point his camera at the Bengals coaching staff and sideline for essentially the entire quarter. At this point, the employee watching the cameraman got media relations, who got security, and things got a little bit awkward. So, you're right. I mean, the one word is why. It's the goddamn Bengals.
It just doesn't make any sense. It's just stupidity. It's been done. Like, there's no way that they're there to try and get some sort of, you know, team advantage over the 1-12 Cincinnati Bengals. Like, that's not what it is. It's just stupidity that they've done this. A little bit of coincidence that, yes, they're playing the Bengals the next week, but it just, yeah, for them to, I honestly don't think there's anything sinister in this.
No.
But it's just stupidity. That's all it is.
Basically, you know, technically they've done nothing wrong, but it says, but it is against NFL rules for the for one team to film another team from the press box. So,
no, that's right.
And Roger Goodell's come out also and said there's no timeline for ruling on the Patriots probe. So I don't. Why? I don't know.
Nothing's
going to
happen.
Where it's going to go, yeah, exactly. I don't think it's going to go anywhere. Exactly right. It could be under review, but I don't think that's going anywhere. It's a weird thing to talk about. It'd be okay, or I guess, you know, if it was against, like, the Bills, like, you know, okay, because it's a divisional team and,
that's,
you know,
right.
And the Bills are playing great this year, but, you know, this is the Bengals. But
it's the Bengals, and essentially, it's just like, oh, you know, we've made a huge error judgment here, you know, with how they do, yeah, how they're filming this, yeah, this advanced scout, and it's just coincidental that they're playing the Bengals, but that's, I mean, they're not a divisional rival, that they've got one win on the season. It's just, yeah, this will go away fairly quickly, I think.
I guess there was other sort of the more news that I wanted to touch on was a lot of injuries. Was there any sort of, which we can move on to a sec, was there any sort of big news that stood out to you this week?
Before we get to the injuries, I just thought that it was funny that the Patriots organization have got taps into the luggage carrying business as well, where the Kansas City Chiefs shoulder pads and training equipment and everything accidentally got sent to Newark and not Foxborough for their 4:25 kickoff. They ended up getting all their stuff there in time, but yeah, I didn't realize that the Patriots had taps into the airline luggage business to get the Chiefs stuff sent to the wrong place. Like, that's amazing.
Well, this is the Patriots after all. So, you know, Patriots.
It's luggage gate.
it's tape gate and luggage gate for the Patriots this week.
And luggage gate. Two scandals.
Oh my God. All over the place.
Unbelievable.
No one wants them to win back to back. So
unbelievable. Just the other thing too, as well, I think we've glossed over a little bit too, that since Carolina's bit of an egg against Atlanta, Ron Rivera has been fired. So you know, that's, he had 9 seasons there with Carolina, made a Super Bowl. They went 15-1 that one season that they did make the Super Bowl. Cam Newton was an MVP. How the mighty have fallen over the past few years. But I think it's a bit rough for Rivera to be getting fired. Like, it could it it's, you know, maybe a team that I should pay a little bit more attention to because they're in the NFC South. But I really don't think that a lot of it is sort of play call. I think in the last 2 years he's taken over defensive play calling as well. So, yeah. But it's just it comes down to a lot of it, I think, to the health of Cam Newton.
Exactly. I mean, that's pretty much it. It comes down to the health of Cam Newton, but I think it was unfair. I think it was pretty unfair on Ron Rivera.
Why now? But, like, why not just wait until the end of the season? Like, exactly, there's only 4 weeks left. 3 weeks left. Just wait until the end of the season and then do it then. Like, there's, yeah, the owner there's only been there for 2 years now. Like, the new owner.
Yeah.
So I think it's just more of a thing just to sort of flex the money muscles there to sort of say, look, you know, I'm running this joint. I've obviously inherited him as a head coach and everything, and this year has been, you know, far from successful. You know, they sort of uncovered Kyle Allen there for a little while, but he hasn't had the greatest sort of 2 to 3 weeks lately. So it's the end of Ron Rivera. Is it the end of Cam Newton?
I think so. I'd take Ron Rivera at Cowboys just to throw that in the mix, because I'll take anybody over Garrett, but I'll take Ron Rivera. Ron Rivera is a very good coach.
Well, that's the thing. He's a defensive specialist, and you know, like you said, you'd love him at the Cowboys. Man, I'd love him at the Saints at the moment. Like, the defensively, he's just been.
Got
to have the players too.
With Cam Newton, I don't know. I think, like, in this off season coming up, are they going to overhaul their entire, I mean, except for Christian McCaffrey, of course, are they going to overhaul their entire team starting with Cam Newton? I don't know, but.
Is Kyle Allen the answer? That's the thing. Is Kyle Allen the answer? Or are they going to have to dig into the draft again?
Maybe they might have to dig in the draft, because they'll get a decent-ish high pick. But what do you think about Cam Newton? Do you think he's done there?
I think he's done there, but I don't think he's done in the NFL, because he's essentially had this whole season off. So that means that's a whole season of his body not getting the absolute piss beaten out of it. So that can only be a good thing for his body, and as long as he gets that foot injury right for next year. There's a few teams around that could use somebody the caliber of Cam Newton.
Well, he's still contracted to next year.
He still has a contract for next year, and a very friendly contract. I think it's it's
20.1. Yeah, 21.1 million. So it's a pretty you're right. It's a very friendly contract for a quarterback anyway.
Yeah. There's a few teams around that could still use him for sure.
Well, new owners want to come in, and they want to make an impact, and that's obviously going to make a massive impact. I'm just trying to think where, you know, the experts think he would go, or if he's going to get traded, where were they? Where could he go?
Up until a couple of weeks ago, a lot of people were saying Chicago, but, you know, now that Trubisky sort of caught sniff of a little bit of form lately, so it's probably not going to be there. But it's clear that for me, there could be two places, but they're probably going to have high draft picks anyway, that they might be able to get something there. Cincinnati, obviously, but Cincinnati's probably going to have the first pick, so they're going to have, you know, a run of whoever the hell they want. But for me, another one is Washington. Like, it's pretty clear that Haskins isn't ready to go.
Yeah. Why?
So could they use him there? Like, the Redskins are going to be looking for a coach next year as well. So could Rivera go there and take Cam Newton along with him?
This is true. Well, the other place that I sort of thought, and this is going to take Ron Rivera with him, and this is out of the field, but it kind of makes sense, is the Los Angeles Chargers.
Well, you know, you can see the Chargers definitely looking to the future.
Ron Rivera.
I declared Philip Rivers done a couple of weeks ago, and he's sort of looked a little bit better in the last couple of weeks. But he ain't getting any younger, and you know, it's.
I'm sure within
the next couple of years he's going to pump out another couple of kids as well. So, you know, he's probably going to want to try and hang on to his job as long as possible so he can feed them 25 kids that he's got.
I just think if they're in play, Ron Rivera is from Southern California. So, you know, if he say he takes a job, you know, he pushes to get Cam Newton, it's kind of makes sense. You're right. Like Bengals probably, I mean, you'd be silly to give up a draft pick for Cam Newton. Well, definitely a first round, maybe a second or third, but you think you can have a run at anybody you want. I mean, the Broncos maybe, but you know, do they fully trust Drew Lock? I don't know.
Well, that's the thing with Drew Lock. Yeah, who knows?
With, you know,
who knows? If we just sort of circle back to the Chargers for a little bit, they're not looking for a coach. That's the problem. Anthony Lynn is their coach, and they're mostly unless Rivera goes there as defensive coordinator or you know in that sort of capacity. But the Denver Broncos, they just had a revolving door of quarterbacks at the moment. You know, is Drew Lock the real deal? You know, he's had two starts for two wins. But if we circle all the way back to week three and week four, Daniel Jones had two starts for two wins before, you know, they turned into an absolute turd fest. So who knows what's going to happen there in Denver this year as the year comes to an end.
Look who their GM is. His quarterback hungry John Elway.
John Elway loves drafting tall quarterbacks as well. Like it's crazy. He loves those guys that are like 6'6", 6'7". Like Brock Osweiler was like 6'9", and he was god awful.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he paid him. Like, just because, you know, John Elway's one of the greats. Like, one of the greats. Just because you're one of the great quarterbacks doesn't mean you're a good quarterback evaluator. And that's been quite clear the last few years.
This is true. Moving on, I guess, to some sort of injury news. There's a lot. Mike Evans, hamstring injury, looks like he's done for the season. Had a very, very good season. He's just he was the standout this year for the Buccaneers. He's a standout wide receiver this year.
Yes.
So
could you imagine if Jameis Winston hasn't thrown 41 interceptions this year?
he had another
three this week. Good God.
He still was able, he's got, you know, there won't be a play in the last three games, but he still finished the campaign with 67 catches and 1,157 yards. So,
big play, Mike.
I'm only thinking sort of bigger ones. The other one was, how bad is Lamar Jackson's quad injury?
He's, as far as I've sort of read up until now, he's questionable for the Thursday night game. But he did take participation in full practice, which is good. Yeah. But if you're the Ravens, do you take the chance on playing him on a Thursday night against the Jets?
I mean, on a strict fantasy level, I hope they don't. but on that knowledge, no. But on a serious knowledge, no. It's against the Jets. They've clinched the division. Why would you?
I honestly wouldn't take the risk.
I think they start. I mean, they haven't clinched the division yet. They've clinched a playoff berth. They haven't clinched the division.
But they need one more win, And if the Steelers lose this week, then they'll have the division.
I think, in all reality, I think he'll start.
I think they'll play him, which could be a mistake.
And I think I think it'd be smart if he starts, and it is the Jets, and they say they blow out the Jets, and they get to his second and third quarter, and then probably rest him the last one or two quarters. You know, they've got Robert Griffin III there, who isn't, the greatest quarterback in the world, but if they can get a handy lead in there,
he'd be able to manage the game well enough. You just got to hope that he doesn't snap a finger or something like that. He's just, that boy's brutal.
I just hope, I hope he doesn't play at all, but, I mean, that's strictly on a fantasy point.
Strictly fantasy level.
Strictly fantasy level. Other injuries you sort of wanted to touch on before we move on to studs and duds?
Two big wide receiver injuries. Yeah. Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Which was just the weirdest little innocuous injury. He just took off on a run route and just stopped running and started limping. I instantly thought Achilles tendon gone, but they're just saying, and nothing's come out yet. It still could be that, but all reports are just saying significant foot injury. But when it's just a takeoff injury like that, no contact, no nothing, and he looked fairly distraught when it happened, I instantly thought Achilles. We'll just have to wait and see to what the actual diagnosis is. And Calvin Ridley.
Yeah.
He's been really good. He's been really good probably over the last 6 weeks or so. He's got an abdominal injury, so he's dusted for the season as well.
Just on that Alshon Jeffrey, I think, you're right, it hasn't come out yet. The way he looked when he went down, it looks Achilles, but I think it's a long-term injury. Didn't look good. You're exactly right. He's obviously done for the year, and he hasn't been playing great. So, he's easily replaceable. The way he's been playing, at the very least, anyway. But,
Nelson Aguilar's out there as well. They're running out their fourth and fifth wide receiver on the team. It's they're going to be calling up everyone from the practice squad.
Just before we move on to studs and duds of the week, I just come across a news with Troy Aikman. He admits he's eyeing a GM role, but he doesn't want to do it with the Cowboys. So, yeah, thanks, Troy, for looking at you.
Really?
Wow.
Interesting.
I just think the expectation would, he probably would have a great relationship with Jerry Jones, but I just think the expectation would be too high.
Winning a couple of Super Bowls.
Yeah, correct. I just think the expectation would be too high, you would think. So...
I suppose you're right. That'd be like, if you sort of compare it to Major League Baseball, why Derek Jeter didn't really sort of want to do, any sort of managerial role with the Yankees. That obviously the expectations are so very high. So he just got himself a nice little consortium together and bought in with the Miami Marlins. But I don't know why Troy would want to sort of, leave his cushy little... booth job with Joe Buck. I love listening to Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. So, just strictly on that sort of level, I'd be sad to sort of to see him leave the Fox team.
Moving on to studs and duds of the week. Have you got a stud of the week?
I've got two. Probably not so much. It's a shout out really to Matt Ryan, 10th player in the league to eclipse 50,000 passing yards.
Mm-hmm.
You might say, okay, that's not that special, but okay, it's he's only the 10th, but he's the second fastest to get there. The fastest to get there was one Drew Brees. So. In that regard, I think that's a pretty top achievement. But for me, my start of the week was Boston Scott.
Really?
He was called upon when Miles Sanders went down. And they rode him as far as they could take him. Like, yeah, he'd only had 35 snaps all season. I think he got 37 in that game against the Giants. Yeah, 6 receptions for 69 yards, 10 rushes for 59 yards and a touchdown. This is only his second year in the league. He was a rookie last year with the Saints, but he was only on the practice squad, only in preseason. And he was picked up. He was picked up by Philadelphia. I think it was midway through the season last year. He didn't get much of a run with Philly last year. But like I said, yeah, he only had 35 snaps all season up until this point. And it was the next man up mentality. Carson Wentz said that in the post game interview. Yeah, it's next man up, and Boston Scott answered the call. I thought he was great.
My start of the week, I guess the main one that sort of stood out for me was Drew Locke, a near perfect, 22 of 27 and 309 yards. Yes, did throw one interception, but I think it was three touchdowns, but just coming, having a near perfect quarterback rating and just coming in and just destroying the Houston Texans.
That was just so bizarre.
Yeah. I still don't know if he is the real deal, but on the back of that game, he was fantastic. They still don't have a lot to throw to, but yeah, he was accurate. He was fantastic.
Keep throwing the Noah Fant.
Yeah, we'll see if that goes anywhere. My dud of the week is corresponding with that game is just Houston Texans, and I'm not going to blame Deshaun Watson even though he had a terrible game, but I cannot work out Houston Texans. They have a great team. I think they're great. They're 8-5. I don't know
They should be better than 8-5.
That's right. They're the duds of the week purely because, they got beaten by the Broncos, who aren't doing great themselves. And then the week before, they beat the Patriots. They're too hot and cold. Like, they string a couple of wins together and then they lose to, the Panthers. They beat their whole year's been like that. They beat the Falcons, they beat the Chiefs, and they lose to the Colts. Like, they're just... I can't work them out. They should be a lot better.
They should be better than 8-5.
Most likely they'll win their division. Most likely they'll win the AFC South.
Tennessee have just been brilliant since Tannehill's come in and replaced Mariota. Sort of said that last week.
It's probably the closest division out of, even the Colts still technically have a chance.
Technically still in it. Except for the Jags,
yeah.
Jags.
But yeah, duds of the week. I just can't work them. I never bet on them because I would be shitting myself every time because I don't know what to do.
RKO out of nowhere. Like that they look like that they were playing really well, and then all of a sudden, they drop that game in front of their home crowd against Denver. Like, what's that?
We'll have to do a WWE pod soon. Just because we throw in so many references, we'll have to do a WWE pod soon. Way too many references for that. But anyway.
Oh, everybody knows RKO out of nowhere. Those videos went viral for ages. It was ridiculous.
I still think they are viral. There's probably three things that people know about wrestling. That, the yes chant, and the woo.
Everybody knows that. So for me, dud of the week was everybody at Gillette Stadium that was booing the Patriots, booing New England fans, booing. Give me a frickin' break. They'd won 21 or 22 straight in that building.
Yeah.
And they're booing the Patriots. Like, are you kidding? Entitlement much? You've got to be kidding me.
It's just a Boston crowd.
That's disgraceful.
Disgraceful.
How good do you want to be?
I know.
You can't lay an egg at home every now and then. It's not as if they were terrible, but they were booing them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, get out of here with that. Like, that is just, that's ridiculous. Like, I don't know why I'm so worked up and passionate about it, but that is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be different if they were doing, you know, if the Jets fans or Miami fans started, or Cincinnati fans, the ones that turn up, you know, started to boo. But really?
Or they lose a division. They lose a divisional game, or they lose a playoff game. But yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah,
it's just, how entitled do you want to be? Like, you know, Boston fans in the last 10 to 15 years, they ain't got, you know, just Boston fans in general, they ain't got nothing to complain about.
Nah,
every single one of their major sports have won a championship in the last 15 years.
Out of every team, they're probably the last team that out of every team in the NFL.
Just City, do you know what I mean? Like, far out.
Good point.
Cleveland, yeah, Boston as a city, never won a championship in 50-odd years until the Cavs won it for them a couple of years ago. Like, give me a break. Like, just like another WWE reference. Get the F out. Like, holy mackerel. That is just entitlement. To the highest degree. You're going to boo them. They're going to get beat by Kansas City, who are a pretty damn good team.
Boston are a sports hungry team, and that they
of
are.
Of course they are. But what's going to happen if the town goes on a 50-year drought like Cleveland did?
What? No, my thing is, what's going to happen if they're booing this now? What's going to happen when Tom Brady retires?
Yeah,
that's going to be interesting.
What happens in 3 or 4 years after Brady's gone and they can't find the right mix?
Exactly right. This is where the whole, you know, Jacoby and Brissett and Jimmy G, you know, they had to let him go, obviously, because they were well enough to run a team, but. I hope they've got someone in that we don't know about that they're going to look at, because.
Well, I don't think it's going to be Jared Stidham, but, you know, it could be. You know, picked him up in the third round in this past draft, but, yeah, he hasn't had much work this year, but it just, I don't know.
Well, that'll do it.
The people in Buffalo go out there in the cold and the snow. You don't hear them boo. They haven't been the greatest over the past 10 years. You don't hear them boo. You don't hear them booing if they lay an egg at home.
Every time I see a Buffalo game when it's that winter time, man, that looks cold there. It's
upstate New York. Oof, that would just be. Oh my God, like that's passion. That's just out of control. Like, no, not out of control. Like that's apparently too. Like, you know, they're one of the best places to go, to, you know, for the tailgate as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, apparently so. Yeah, they reckon. Yeah, the Buffalo Bills game tailgate is supposed to be otherworldly.
Wow, well, that's a good note to finish, and I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, yeah, more useless facts.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna look that up now. That'll do it for us this week on the NFL Pod. Don't forget to follow us on all the socials: SoundCloud, Facebook, and Twitter at the Final Play Pod. So is that 2 more weeks before we start hitting playoffs? So
3 more weeks.
And a couple of big games this week. So plenty more to talk about next week.
Yeah, playoff pitches. The painting is starting to look like something. So yeah, there's going to be some big games over the next couple of weeks. Especially to sort of shape the, you know, divisional and wildcard matchups.
Yeah, for sure. Well, have a good week, everyone. My name's Jason.
Have a good week, people. My name's Miles. We shall talk to you next week. Enjoy your NFL weekend.
See ya.